Okay. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Good morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for giving us this morning the opportunity to come here to this place where the Word of God is honored, where we're gathered around the Word so that we might learn of Thee. And Lord, we just remind ourselves of how you so loved us that you gave your Son, the only begotten, the Lord Jesus, to take our place, to be made sin for us, having himself no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we give you thanks for that. We thank you for our pastor, Lord, and for his wife, and for their ministry among us. And we pray that you'll continually give them the strength and the energy that they need for your service, and even for this message which will come just now, that you will bless in that. And Lord, we pray for some of those who have some weakness and trials among us. Especially we remember our sister, Mrs. Blachowicz, who was there at the recovery center waiting to see how you're going to continue with her blessing and healing. And we ask for her to be encouraged and strengthened in the midst of her need. Also, we thank you for the Beards, Lord, and ask for you continually to meet their needs. And for the Cornelakises, Lord, and also for my brother Jordan's wife, who's with difficulties and is not able to be among us today, and for his little grandson, Russell, with a terrible, challenging heart problem. Oh God, that Thou wouldst meet his need, give him peace, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, in the midst of these serious considerations as to what is to be done with his body. And Lord, I pray for my brother-in-law, Larry, who is in New Orleans to help with a relief effort, trying to provide mental health services to people in great need. We pray that you'll bless him and strengthen him and enable him just to be able to be a wonderful part of that team, trying to help people in very serious need. And then for those victims, Lord, wherever they are, scattered here all about the country now, but they need help, many of them, in very many ways, spiritual help as well as material help. And we pray, Lord, that that Thou wouldst make that available to them and cause people to come to know the Lord as a consequence of having gone through that horrendous experience. And Father, we are mindful too that You have given to us this morning a place where we can come, which has not been affected by any difficulties or problems, that we could come and enjoy the things of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to appreciate what it is that You have given to us and to take the full advantage of these very things, while meanwhile in prayer for those who have special needs and doing what we can to be of assistance and help. And so we thank You for, again, just the privilege of prayer. We ask in the name of Christ our Savior, and with thanksgiving. Amen.
A real joy to see you this morning. Thank you for coming. We appreciate those who want to serve the Lord in this way, to sit down and sing hymns which glorify Him, read His Word, and study that precious Word. So we thank you for coming. I want to take a special word of thanks to Lim Yu for playing the organ for us. It's been silent for so many months. We had to import an organist from Singapore. But we're so glad that Singapore responded to our call. God bless you, my brother. This merit an email to your father on this notable day in which you helped us out. Thank you very much. At the end of the service this morning, he will also participate in what I've wanted for a long, long time, to have the song, the little goodbye word, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." He will play that after the singing of our final hymn. So when I say to you, let us pray, you just wait and sit down and listen to our brother play, and don't run off quickly. Furthermore, there are some visitors with us today. I hope that you will make yourself available to them and make them know that you're pleased that they are here today. I want to welcome, first of all, Elizabeth Howison's mom and dad. I spoke with your dad last night, Bill, and it's such a delight to see you here this morning. Would you kindly just stand? You know Elizabeth Howison is now Elizabeth Douglas. Yes. All right. Thank you. God bless you, dear friends. And then we have two friends here. I do not know you. Perhaps you would just introduce yourself, please. Just stand up and tell us who you are, please. Thank you very, very kindly for coming. Yes, God bless you. You may be seated. And if you would be so kind to sign our visitor's book as you leave this morning. Let's see, I want to be sure that I don't miss anybody on this side. Now on this side we have a few people. This lady here, she was here on Wednesday night. And Seiken Afrikaanse Praat. Now, if you know some Afrikaans, you might mit hey prat and say, now I'm going to say, I think of Zulu, I can think of Kiswahili, and Afrikaans, you must say, hukane mit yo. And she would respond in a nice way. Would you please stand? You tell them your name. A little bit louder. All right. Did anybody hear? Did you hear? What'd she say?
Danae.
That's right. Okay. She's here from South Africa. She comes from Cape Town. And we're very happy to have you this morning. God bless you, dear. Her father is a dominie in the Afrikaans Baptist Church in South Africa. And I happened to preach at the church of which he was the pastor, but not at the same time. We're trying to get these things organized, but we're so pleased that she's here this morning. Thank you very much. And then we have, yes, that's right, okay. 10 years ago. Oh, thank you very much for coming back after 10 years. I think Jacob says in the Bible that his father-in-law changed his wages 10 different times. But thank you very much for coming. God bless you. Do you have somebody back there, Kim? Who's next to you? Now, whose son is he? LaShawn. That's your sister. Yeah. Well, nice to have you. Thank you very much for coming. If you are better off than I am, you hope you get some food at their house. All right. Thank you very kindly. Yes, there's a couple back here. Betty, do you know who these people are? Yes. What are you studying? Political science. Well, be sure you're on the right side, will you please? Okay, that's good. Now, could you tell me how you ever got to this place? You know what he said this morning? He said he was so excited to see you. He said, sometimes we invite people and they never show up. But this couple actually came here. So thank you very much. All right, George, you're happy, aren't you? Yes, you keep asking me. What was his place of work where he was? Where did you meet him? Where he says he... You said he... Where was this?
CompUSA.
What were you doing down there? No, you must always go to Lorraine. Yeah. That. All right. Yes, ma'am. I can't hear you. Please stand up. We would sing for her, but that was in Sunday school, and she didn't show up for Sunday school. Yeah. But she's invited us all to come to her house for cake and ice cream. All right. Thank you very much. Anybody have a late word on Jean Balakovich? More late than yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. She's improving, and we praise the Lord for this. Thank God for that. And please continue to pray for the people down in the south of our country, the terrible needs that are there, that God will be gracious unto them. Thank you for being part of our ministry this morning. We invite you to participate in giving to the Lord's work as the Lord has prospered you. And the way we do it here, so that you will know, we receive the offering first, and then the men will bring it back to the front of the church building. And at that time, we will stand and sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And we'll have our prayer at that time. Brethren, please come forward. Brother Tony Urban, will you lead us in our prayer for the offering which has been received for God's glory? Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Yeah. And when you finish, I need to have that thing brought up.
Please stand for hymn 309.
that we see only Jesus today. When through the valley our way is plain, give me thy glory and beauty to see. Fill all my vision, Savior divine, fill with thy glory my spirit shall shine.
Bible, will you kindly turn to the book of Hebrews? The book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Brother Matt, would you kindly give these people a Bible? Thank you. That's all right. Here, we'll catch it. Just want you to be able to follow me, that's all. Thank you. Let us pray before we study the Bible, please. We thank Thee, O God, this morning for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We praise Thee for the opportunity to study together. We thank Thee for the people who are in the nursery caring for our little ones. And also, Father, for the ones who have taken our children to teach them on their level. We ask, dear Father, that those ministries and ours right in here, this main auditorium, will count for Christ and for eternity. Give us a heart for thy word, Lord, just like we've sung, fill all my vision, Savior divine. Oh, Heavenly Father, grant to us a consciousness that we do have physical bodies that need to be cared for, and thy grace has brought us to this place where we can be here today. And we think, Lord, about the attitudes which we brought in here. May they be for thy glory and for thy praise, so that not only our soma, but our psuche will be right before the holy God. Now we pray, Lord, for our spirit, the pneuma, that we might be spiritually attuned to what is in this Bible. Oh, Father, spare us from just going through the forms and grant to us reality in what we do. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. I spoke 2 weeks ago from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 8, or 4 to 6, I'm sorry. And
No, it was 4-8. And I had some rather interesting responses. I want to repeat
what I said at the last in our sermon 2 weeks ago. It is a very solemn thing to make a profession of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say it again? It's a solemn thing to make a profession of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am going to take the opportunity this morning to preface what I say by some basic thoughts about the gospel of our Lord Jesus. I was telling the brethren yesterday at the prayer meeting that the new tribe's mission, one of their missionaries started what he called the foundations of faith. And it's a program to help people to understand why we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. They are dealing with people whom we refer to as aboriginals in the country of Papua New Guinea. They have no background whatsoever. Talk about God, you're talking about something that is totally foreign to their thinking. They believe in a spirit world. There's no problem about that. But when you talk about the God of the Bible, who sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die for sinners, this is totally out someplace. They have no idea. So one of their missionaries decided he would start from the beginning and begin with the foundations for faith and try to teach from the very beginning in the book of Genesis all the way through to our Savior's return what it's all about. Now, this takes an enormous amount of effort, first of all, to get the language reduced to writing, and then to be able to communicate that from Genesis all the way through. And it takes weeks and weeks and weeks just to present the material. I have a friend by the name of Jerry Fitzgerald, who was in Papua New Guinea for about 40 years. He's home in this country, but he keeps his finger on what's out there. And he keeps writing to me and telling me what's going on at Lele amongst the Mengen people and how this particular ministry of the Foundations for Faith is being presented. It will be a long time before those people hear the full message to be able to understand why they should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I make some assumptions this morning. You have some background somehow in a country like ours, or maybe in the country from which you come, about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the Bible. But just to give you some basics, I decided to put this in the overhead to help you so that you won't forget. This is what it is. Don't worry, I'll get out of the way. The first item I want to, and I cannot go to the verses because we have too much to say this morning, but I ask you to read these verses. In Psalm 145 and verse 17, the Bible says that God is righteous and holy in all of his works. So let's start with a holy God. Not some pantheon, but one single God, the God of the Bible. And that God is a holy God. And because he's so holy, we are separated from him. Why? Because sin is what man is full of. We are full of sin. Romans 3, 9 to 20 are very clear verses. Read it in your Bible. Don't trust me. God's a holy God, but we are sinners. Verse 23 of chapter 3 of Romans says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The all is both Jews, like myself, and Gentiles, like you. That's how the world is divided. It's not divided by color or races. It's divided by Jews or Gentiles. Those two groups are what the Bible talks about. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's glory is up here. His holiness is there. His righteousness is high.
and we have fallen short. So there's a big chasm between God and us. And the question is, how are we going to bring the two together? And I want you to turn now to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, which were read for us this morning by our brother Jordan. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And in those two verses, you have this wonderful truth brought out, that salvation, that is, to bring the two together, God, the Holy God, and man, the sinful man, to bring those two together. We call that salvation. We call it bringing the man to where God is, not bringing God down to where man is, but to bring man up to where God is. If you want to take it as a bridge, whatever it may be, somehow to bring the two together. How can you get them together? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says it. For by grace are ye saved. And by saved we mean to bring the two together. The holy God and the sinful man. How are you going to bring them together? You're going to do it by grace. Now, this is a big word. It's a lot larger than you think it is. But God provides a word for it here in the text. It's a gift. Grace is unmerited favor. That's a simple definition. But what it really means is you get a gift. You get something that you don't deserve. Here's the holy God and sinful man. Now he puts them together. How is he going to get them there? Not because of any merit of the person, but because God desires to get the man to be where he is. He brings them together. This is grace. G-R-A-C-E. Years ago, I learned this little word about the word grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Well, that's expanding a little bit, but what I'm simply saying is that God reaches down to this man who is full of sin and brings him to himself. This is grace. It's nothing that a person merits or is capable of receiving. It's totally unmerited favor. Totally unmerited favor by grace. I also want you to notice it's through faith. You reach out and accept what God has said about him being holy and you being sinful. And he says, I've got a way to do it. You must believe. You must have faith. Now here's the problem. And this is the problem we're facing in Hebrews chapter 6. People have a mental agreement. They say, I see. I believe what you're saying. But if it only goes that far, it's not far enough. And we'll show that to you when we go to Hebrews chapter 6 again. But you must have faith. You must believe that what God says is true. You must believe that he's a holy God. You must believe that you are a sinful person. And he wants to bring you together. And you have to understand it's by grace. He's not giving you something that you deserve. Unmerited favor. But you must also say, I want to believe this stuff. And you must believe in order to be saved. In order to bring the two together. Have we got a problem? Okay. You can hear me all right? Thank you very kindly. In that verse it says, not of yourself. In other words, you can't contribute to your salvation. Every religion tells you that you can do something to satisfy or palliate the Holy God. Everyone does. We do not propagate a religion. We propagate a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot offer him something. It's by grace, through faith, not of yourselves. You can't say, look, I'm going to give you something. You can't say to God, listen, I'll help you out. I want to get where you are. I want to do what you want me to do. It won't work. It's not of yourself. And just in case you feel, well, that was something personal, which I put here in my wonderful scribbling. It's not of works. Not something that you do. It's not doing. It's not your character, your person, nor your doing. Neither one. It's by grace. You give God nothing, but you receive everything as a gift. Do you understand a gift? And once you get a gift, you don't pay for it. You don't give something for it. It's all a gift from God. That's the salvation. Bringing this holy God and the sinful man together. That's the way God works it. Hopefully that has been made clear to you. Now I just want to... This is the hard stuff. There's another side to all this. What God says now in verse number 10 of Ephesians 2. Verse number 10. We are created in Christ Jesus. And when he says created, it simply means you are now saved. The Holy God and you have been brought together. That's what it means by being created. It's not some unusual event. It's simply that you now have, by grace, through faith, accepted the free gift of salvation. But he calls it in a different formula now, and he says created. And you're created in a person, in Christ Jesus. You see that in verse number 10? Not created in a church or in some activity that you do. So no doing and no personal involvement, but created in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get a hold of this. This is very important. It's all in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. People often ask me here in town, and I had asked several times this last week, because I wear a cap which says, Jesus, my great God. And so people say, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, I've got a wonderful Savior. And here I want to tell you about him. And then I have the opportunity. Religions will not save, but a person can save. And that's what this is all about. But now you notice, please, in verse number 10, we are created in Christ Jesus. And we are his workmanship. His as God's workmanship, not ours. We have not of ourselves, not that we do, but he does the creating. God does. Then you obviously understand that salvation, or bringing the holy God and the sinful man together, is a work of God, not a work of man. It's not from this side up. It's from that side down. What an incredible truth that is. God took the initiative. It's not that we take the initiative. Romans 3, the passage I gave to you, says there's none that seeks after God. They've all gone astray. The walk, the mouth, the tongue, the activity, everything is bad. Read that passage. And if you understand that salvation starts with God, not with man. Man has the need, and God has the abundant grace and mercy to be able to provide it. But once we're created in Christ Jesus, this is where the rub comes. Please do not slide over this. This is why I got the static after my sermon 2 weeks ago. Not a lot of static, but some people were asking some serious questions. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I put the Greek word there, epi. The epi is could be translated for. Why does God save a person? Why does he take the holy God and sinful man and bring them together? What's the purpose? It's not just to say, well, I said the words. It's to get good works out of that person. Ah, you say, that's right. See, you're a legalist. You teach that people get saved by what they do. I didn't say that. And the Bible doesn't say that. But you jolly well better get it, friend, that when you are created in Christ Jesus, it's for a purpose. And the purpose is for good works. He does not expect you to get to heaven by good works, but because you're on your way to heaven, he says, you've got to have them. The good works are why? Because you are now saved. You're right in line with the Holy God. Now you produce the good works. Oh, you say, see, I told you, you believe in works. No, you will produce the good works. But now, wait a minute. This is a bylane you don't want to forget. In verse number 10, it says that those good works were foreordained by God. Which, foreordained by God, God had those in mind when he saved you. Can I use a very stupid arrangement? When my wife and I got married 52 years ago, we had some grand ideas as to what we're going to enjoy in the marriage experience. And I told you this not too long ago. I'll say it again. I didn't know that she put the shirt out for me and the suspenders and all the stuff on the bed. So all I had to do was go get the stuff and put it on. That was part of the prize I got. And I praise the Lord for that. And you may have had some great ideas too, of what your spouse would be or not be or whatever. And if you people are not married, please take notice. Be sure you look them over real good. And bring them up young. See, I met her when she was 16 years old, so I could bring her up. But, you know, this is something wonderful. That God, before he ever chose you, before he ever said, look, I want to do something for you, I want, by grace, through faith, I want to save you. Without anything else, I'm giving a gift. And listen, I got something in the package that is good works. And I foreordained this before you ever thought about this thing. It's all down there. You do not do good works as a believer. They're already there for you to just enter into and enjoy them. It's a great idea. That's what I've been doing for 52 years, looking for my shirt. And the food that I get. And the wonderful other tender, loving care stuff that I get. I thank the Lord for that. How else can I explain this? It's so wonderful that it's not, well, I got to do certain things. You don't have to go do anything. They will be there because he foreordained them to be there. Either believe that Bible or don't believe it. It's all set out. That's the way the package comes, my friend. I was showing some people this nice little new car I got. Well, it's 7 years old, the car is. But it's 7 years younger than the one I used to have. And I was showing them, you know, I said, I push a button, number one, and the seat moves forward from my arrangement. If the good lady puts her key in, she goes to number two, and it pushes real far up, see? But it's part of the package. There was nothing extra. It was in the car when I got the thing. And so I am enjoying that. And this is what the Lord does for you. Say, well, I didn't know. He's making me read my Bible now. No, he's not making you do it. You're just doing it. Why? Because it's foreordained. You go to church. He said, why are you saying that? Because that's what the Bible says. That you don't forsake the assembling of yourself together as manner of some is. That's what he says in Psalms. He said, I was glad when he said to me, come, go into the house of the Lord. That's just part of it. That's what happens. And you don't work at it. You're not trying to satisfy a God. He's already said, this is what you're going to do. So cheer up. Isn't this wonderful? This is part of the package. Praise the Lord. You're not working at all. You're just walking in the... I said walk. Did you see that word in there? Ephesians 2:10. For a year, his work, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus which God has before ordained that we should, what? Walk in them. You don't do the walking. He's told you before, this is part of the package. You just walk. You just do it. You're not trying to satisfy Him. You're not trying to meet a certain standard. It's already there. I wish this would break upon your heart, because people are always trying to say, well, I got to carry a certain kind of Bible, and I got to cut my hair this way. My skirt has to be a certain length. You don't do anything. The works that you do are those who were foreordained before you ever got saved. It's there. Maybe reading my Bible right, if you can come and help me, but I think I've got it straight. And I'm too old to be pushed around and say, believe something else. I'm ingrained in this stuff. It's right there in that Bible. And I'm so careful about this Bible. I brought you another Bible. I've talked to you about this before. But some of you may not agree with it. That's okay. In this side, it's Hebrew. And this side's Greek. And this one is the... it has a statement up here. The Ginsburg's translation of the Old Testament of the Masoretic text on this side. And so I decided I would take that particular text. You could have another one if you want, but at least I know this is my Bible. I'm positive in my heart that this is the one it should be. And on this side, there's the Textus Receptus. And I decided to take that one. And I just rejoice in what God has given me. I can stand up here and say, this is the Bible. This is God's Word. And it happens to be that the translation I have in my hand here was taken from the text of this. Be careful, my friend, when you stand up and say, this is my Bible. What is your Bible, please? I know where my Bible is. It's right out of this. If you have any time, this is the text. You say, but those aren't the autographs. You show me anybody who's got the autograph. Nobody has. But I will tell you, these are the apographs. They were taken from the autographs and handed down in manuscripts which are very carefully chosen. Be careful, my brother. Be aware of those people who translate the Bible and give you a paraphrase rather than a literal translation of what the text says. This is what I can do, see? So when I refer to some stuff this morning and refer to a perfect tense or an aorist tense or a present tense, I have taken it from the text. I haven't manufactured it. And I've decided that is the good one for me. And I praise the Lord for it. Now, I do have about an hour and a half yet to go, so let's get going here. Hebrews chapter 6. I'll turn this stuff off. Oh, I put this stuff down here. If I had time, how I'd like to. Ephesians 4, 1, verse 17, verse 20, verse 21. Ephesians 5, 1, and verse 18 to 6, 18. These are other passages in there that tell you how to live the life which has been before ordained. I think this is fabulous. I know that some people, when they accept the Lord as their Savior, they're not sure what it's all about. You don't have to worry about it, because He's got it all set down. And you just walk in it. Walk what? Walk in what He's told you to do. That's all. And you say, well, I don't know. Well, read your Bible and you'll find out. He'll tell you what to do. That's all. What a wonderful salvation God has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good for us as Bible-believing people to do like the old Methodists used to say, amen, hallelujah. But you people are so stiff, you would never say that. Okay. Here, look at Hebrews chapter 6, will you? I want to show you something very, very interesting. 3 weeks ago, I preached on verse number 1 to 3. And I pointed out that the items which are mentioned in verse number 1, the principles, the rudiments of the doctrine of Christ. It's good to believe in the foundation of repentance. It's good to believe in, the laying again of the foundation of repentance towards from dead works. Secondly, of faith towards God. Good to believe in that stuff. It's good to believe in the doctrines of baptisms and the laying on of hands. It's good to believe in the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. There are six items there. Okay, fine. But he says in the middle of verse number 1, let's go on. That's not enough. You say, but I believe. That's fine. But let's go on. Go further. If you're for real, you'll go further. So he says, I want to tell you, this is what we're going to do, verse number 3. And God will see to it that I do it. And in verses 4 and 5, I pointed this out, that there are 5 statements there. They're okay, but they're not enough. He talks about being enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Spirit, tasted the good word of God, powers of the world. All of that stuff is included in the idea of salvation, but it's not enough. You say, but listen, how much do I have to do? Well, you don't do anything. We just pointed that out from Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 and 10. But the reason I say it's not enough is because of verse number 9. Will you notice that, please? But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Speak what? The 6 items in verse 2 and 3, the 5 items in 4 and 5, and he says, listen, you got to go more. There's got to be something more. That's the illustration which we gave in verse 7 and 8. That the earth, when it drinks in the rain comes down, it brings forth herbs. Some botany comes up. Why? Because God wants to bless those who are listening. But those other people, in verse number 8, the rain comes, but they bear thorns and briars, and it's rejected, and there comes cursing, and the end is burned up. I tell you, my friend, it's a dangerous thing to make a profession. What he's talking about is, if you've got the talk, that's fine, but I want the walk. The walk must agree with the talk. The talk must agree with the walk. And this is where we all get into problems. And you say, oh, now the pastor's judging me. The pastor's telling me that I have to be a legalist. I have to have the things all in order. Sure, you have to have them in order, because you cannot just say without being. What good is it to fall in love with somebody who really doesn't love you? Thank you. You say, how am I going to find out? Well, you better find out. I took 13 years to find out. I went to Africa and I came back and she was still there. I had people all along the line saying, why don't you marry the girl and get it over with? I said, well, I will when I'm, as far as I know, I'm sure. To the best of my ability, it worked out that way, and I think she's been fairly satisfied. Oh, sometimes she's a little bit upset, but I exercise my headship and we get these back. But, you know, it's nobody has a perfect road to hoe, but boy, you just want to be sure. I was just telling her yesterday, you know, we don't have any problems about some of the activities in which people find themselves doing, because your mother and father were much like my mom and dad. And so we don't have any problems about don't do this or don't do that. Because we just learned that that was not the way to be a Christian. And so we came together. There we are. And that's what this Bible is talking about. You can say, I have got these six things. He says, but go on. He says, but I got these five things. He says, that's fine. But I want to see things that are like, that belong to salvation. Verse number 9. You read your Bible. You give me some other answer if what I'm giving you is not right. He's saying, listen, it's not enough to have the talk. You must have the walk. And the Ephesians passage gives you a clear statement about that. See, this is a warning. It's the yellow light that says, hey, is it a go or a stop? Well, I've been taught to stop on the yellow light. Not here in Ann Arbor. You run through the yellow light. And you hope that nobody will come and smash you. I always, when I see a yellow light, I stop. And I don't start going when it says green, because there's some crazy idiot that's going to come through. So, you know, what God is trying to say is, it is stop or go. Don't go on any yellow. God wants you to be sure and absolutely sure. It's a warning. Am I for good or not? You say, that's not fair with you. No, it is. Well, you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to show you something. Very interesting. 2 Peter chapter 1. As verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. He wants you to be sure that what you're saying by your life is what you say by your tongue. Make sure. Make absolutely sure. That's what Hebrews 6 is all about. It's a warning. Are you or aren't you? Now, how can I be sure? Look at verse number 9. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. The word persuade is in the perfect tense. You say, how do you know? Because it's in my text. It's right in the text. I know it's a perfect tense. And a perfect tense says, I found out and I still in that way. I continue. I am absolutely persuaded that what you are beloved. He said, I know that some of you are the beloved of the Lord. Are you persuaded that you are saved? Persuaded? You're sure? If you were to die today, as the story goes, and you were to knock on the door of heaven, and you want to get in, and the Father opens the door and says, well, what right do you have to come in here? So, well, I raised my hand. I signed a paper. I did something. Yeah, he says, but how's your life? How did you live? Oh, well, I don't know. Did you walk in the things which God put before you? And all those things. So you have good works? Well, no, I'm not saved by good works. I am saved by Jesus' blood. That's not enough, my friend. You either live what you say, or according to this text, you're not saved. Read on, will you? Verse number 9. Better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Things that go along with salvation. What goes along with it? Well, come on. You know. I don't have to tell you. I haven't got a grocery list. I haven't got somebody, some list to say, now you match that, and then now you know. Because the Spirit of God will tell you. You will have the witness in your own heart. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 9. The Spirit of God will tell you. You'll have the witness of the Spirit of God within you. You see, this is our problem. We're waiting for somebody to say, now listen, if you do this and do this and do this and do this, Now you've done all the things you're told to do, so now you're okay. That's a bad way. What you have to do is respond only to what the Spirit of God teaches you through the Word of God. Go to your Bible. Get on your knees and ask the Spirit of God, say, listen, Lord, I want to be sure that I am saved. I want to be absolutely sure. I don't want any questions. It's so easy, my friend, to say, well, I do what they told me to do. I read my Bible. I go to church. I pay the dues. I got baptized. I did. Hey, that won't go, friend. That won't go. If you're going to try to do the things that people tell you to do, then you're going on the basis of works. It's not by works. Whether yourself or the doing side, it's all by grace. It's a gift of God. You can ask this brother over here. He went to a college where they have 66 pages of rules and regulations, something like that. And so if you meet the rules and regulations of that institution, then you're an accepted student. You can't do that with God. He gave 613 laws to the people in the Old Testament. They couldn't keep them. They couldn't keep 10 of them, let alone 613. And I think Dr. McCorkle counted somewhere around 400 to 500 rules and regulations in the New Testament that we're supposed to do. But that isn't me. It's your heart, my friend. It's your relationship to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of attitude do you have? See? Well, I just want, like we sang this, fill all my vision. Did you sing that really from your heart? Fill all my vision? Or were you saying, well, Lord, there's some things I don't want you to fill. I got my eyes on some other things. There were, over 105,000 people yesterday at the big house. And what did they do? They saw 11 men or 12 men or whatever murder these guys over in Ypsilanti. I don't know about you. The question is, where do you stand? Where are you really with the Lord? I can't decide for you. You know, be careful about these people come to you and say, now, if you believe these four things or five things or 10 things or whatever, you're saved. Nobody can tell you you're saved. God will tell you. Nobody else can tell you. If somebody wants to tell you that you're okay, be careful. Who is he? Is he God? You know whether you're right or not. And that's what this passage is all about. Things that accompany salvation are the things that are happening in your life, the foreordained things for you to walk in. Does it make you sense that, yes, I am right with the eternal God? Boy, I can show you books that will teach you just believe in grace. Grace, 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 grace. You be careful. It's grace that leads you into a life of good works. A life that has the talk agreeing with the walk. You walking in these things. Walking. Walking, my friend, is not just believing. There's too much of the head knowledge. As a matter of fact, the seminary from which I graduated is great on this side of believe, 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 believe. Salvation, my friend, is an experience as well as a fact of belief. You believe certain things, but also you experience them. How do you know? Because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're sincere, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart. And from that point on, it's fill all my vision, Lord. Help me to live. That's what it's all about. I don't know how else to say it to you, dear friend. But read the next verse, verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget. Hey, this is interesting. Work, that's ergos, and your labor is kopas. That's for having a baby. Work and labor, God's not going to forget because he's looking for that. That's some of the stuff that he before ordained it, you to walk in them. And it all springs from love.
You see, one of our big problems, if I may suggest this to you, we want to get people saved and into heaven who don't live like it. Be careful. They're not going to get there unless they're doing the stuff that God has before ordained that they should walk in them. I've had enough funerals, and the family gets all upset because I preach, when did they get saved? Well, in Sunday school. And where have they been for the last 50 years? I don't know. Well, I don't know either. And I'm not going to pronounce somebody who's gone to heaven into his final resting place. Resting place? And he's been running around serving the devil for the last 50 years? Come on.
Be honest, my brother and sister. Be honest. There it is right in your Bible. The things that accompany salvation, God is not going to forget what? Your ergos, your ergonomics. He's not going to forget your kopios, your labor, which you've showed toward his name. See, now that's another thing. These grace people, full of grace, don't worry about how you live, just grace. They say, see, you're emphasizing externals. Yes, I am. Because the Bible says, who you show, that's the word, endectomai. You've got to show it, man. Can you imagine if my wife and I have been married all these years and I never showed it by putting my arm around her and kissing her? I remember one day the boys said to me, Dad, kiss Mom. Kiss her. I said, okay, I'll kiss her. I gave her a peck on the cheek. They said, no, I want you to kiss her on her lips. Okay, so I kiss her on the lips. That satisfied them. The point is, if there was none of that in a marriage experience, goodness me, what good is the experience? There's nothing there. It's a lot of balarney.
Show.
And this is what is so good, isn't it? You show this towards his name, towards him. It's not as a show to people. Who cares what people think? But you want to be towards his name. The things that you walk in, which were foreordained, are for him. So forget it. You don't worry about, do they hear my prayer right? Do they see what I'm doing? Do they see me carrying my Bible? You don't have to worry about that. It's all towards his name. As long as he's satisfied, that's the big thing. And that's exactly what it says. And don't you like this? In that ye have ministered to the saints and you do minister. The have ministered is an aorist tense. The do minister is a present tense. You say, but why do you give these tenses? Well, because they're in the text, that's one thing. But the other is that it's you don't start, you just keep on. Did you ever hear that phrase, the perseverance of the saints? Well, that's what this is talking about. To some marriages, it's a paper thing. According to this Bible, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to go all the way. It's there. You're there for the long haul. The long haul. Because you made a commitment. We don't have examples of this stuff today. But we need them, my brother. Are you for real? Are you sticking it out to the bitter? I said bitter, but all the way to the end. That's what it's all about. And you notice in verse number 11, he says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence, which shows that there were some who weren't doing it. But he was, I want everybody to do the same thing. I want you to show the full assurance of hope unto the end, all the way to the end. Full assurance, satisfaction, right to the end. Oh boy. I'm constantly told about
this and that and some other circumstance and Christian activity. And I said, well, I'm not the judge. That's their business. All I know is that for Raymond Hyman's sake, I'm trying to do what he tells me to do. And I want to stick it out all the way. I trust for you, my friend, is the same way. Not that you're following us, but you're following what the book says. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what it says in verse number 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers. And the word for followers is the word for mimic, an imitator. You are an imitator of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Faith, belief, patience, you stick it out. Persevere to the last drop. I like that. And what do you get? You inherit the promises. But you said a promise, why should you inherit it? Well, he says you get it if you stick it out. I reminded you a couple of weeks ago of Dr. Edmonds' little phrase at Wheaton College. Every year at the time of the final exams, he'd come up with this idea about it's always too soon to quit. And about that time, you felt like throwing the thing in. Goodbye. I'm get out of here. But the Lord wants us the same thing. It's always too soon to quit. You stick at it. And that's what he was telling these Hebrew people. Some of them believed, but they had suffering come in. Have you had problems come in your life? Things that you don't quite understand? My brother back here, he's prayed for his wife in the men's prayer meeting this morning. He asked me that question. Pardon me for read this out now. But he can't figure out, you know, why should my wife have a problem to swallow? I'd like to know why my wife has a problem with her arm. Mark's trying to give us some help. But why? I can ask you too. Why did the Lord take our 18-month-old child? Why? You tell me. I mean, we did everything we could for the little boy. And then the Lord took it. How about your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister? Something that happened in your family, you say, man, I don't understand. There can't be a God who's going to allow all this stuff to happen. That's what they were saying. And Paul come back and said, listen, I'm warning you. There's only one way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you start, don't give up. Don't stop. Because you're only walking in the things that the Lord wants you to do. And you can't crucify the Lord again. There's no other gospel. There's no other message. This is the only one. I had a great joy of having a father who went out and preached on the open air. And he got stuff thrown at him. And his neck was burned one night by a cigar butt. But he went right back out on the street to do it. I don't think he was trying to show himself as a macho or something like that. He was just saying, Lord, you did something for me, I'll go right to the end. And I just appeal to you, brother. It's a matter of love. Your faith and patience is out of love. And what he's done for you, what do you want to do? Or don't you understand what he's done for you? The holy God, the sinful man, he brings you together through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And there is no other gospel, there's no other way. We believe that the only revelation God has given to us is what I told you this morning. It's the Bible. There's no other way. I hope I've helped you. I have not tried to frighten you or scare you or bend your arm or something like that. But I do beg you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, read that Bible. If I'm wrong, you come and tell me. I'd be glad to sit down and talk to you about it. But as far as we know, there is no salvation in any other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you can be saved, put together with God. Only Jesus Christ. It's a very exclusive club you're in, if you're in. But if you're in, don't just talk. Walk, brother. It's the walk that counts. Our son called us the other day. You'd be interested in this. And he said, I just treated a little boy, 12 years of age. And he said, I tried to help him because his kidney was injured when he was tackling another boy
in a practice game in football. I said, well, what did you do? And he explained some things to me. I couldn't, you fellows in medicine could tell me. But he told me what he'd done. I said, and my wife and I said, well, will he live? Oh, yeah, yeah, he won't have as much out of that one kidney, but he'll be able to make it. And he says, you know, you can live by one kidney. I said, yeah, but how? Here's a 12-year-old boy. He says, you know, it was like I was operating on my own little boy, Ben. And here he was on the table. And I did everything for him. My friend, whatever your problem is, whatever your difficulty is, don't throw Jesus away. Make sure that you are on his side and no questions asked. So you lay your head in the pillow tonight and you have an assurance. You see, there's the doctrine that says you're saved forever. We call that eternal security. Yeah, we believe that. But everybody needs to have assurance. That I have assurance that I'm right with God. That's an experience. The doctrine is there. You never touch it. If you believe and you have the experience of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's settled once and for all. But you have to have the assurance. And I think the assurance will come when you walk the foreordained path. When you walk it. And not just talking. I think one of the biggest problems as to why people don't have assurance is they're not walking it. And so they're trying to wonder, well, will I make it? Well, you don't have to question. You'll make it. It's whether you're doing what you know the Lord has told you in His Word. I commend it to you, my friend. If I can help you or answer any questions, I'm available. I just want you to get Hebrews chapter 6 right in your heart. Let's go on. When you say, I got the 6, that's fine. I got the 5. I'm sorry, friend. You want things that accompany salvation. And he outlines them for you. Faith, diligence, out of love, patience. It's all there. Where do you stand this morning? I know the problem is that you come to church and you say, man, I wish the guy would tickle my ears and give me a happy time. But what a church is all about, the body of believers, is to prod one another, provoke one another into love and to good works. If we can't do that, and we're just making people feel good, I wonder if we're really helping people. I hope you feel good because you know that the Lord has done some wonderful things for you. Praise His wonderful name. Bless you. Let's pray, please. I'm going to kneel down in front of you and ask the Lord to help us as a congregation. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank Thee for these dear people who've come here this morning. We've gone through some basic things. We've gone through Hebrews chapter 6. And the best way we know how, this is what that text is saying. And Heavenly Father, may nobody walk out of this place, walk out, who hasn't got the talk that goes with his walk. And may these words resound in every one of our hearts, that we will walk our talk and talk our walk, so that people will know where we stand, the kind of people we are, our attitudes, and our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the good works that Thou hast before ordained that we should walk in them, that they're displayed. We're showing them. It's an external thing, no matter what people say. It's there. We have this show of what God has done for us. And we pray that, like the little children in the school, we would have a show and tell by the kind of life that we live to the glory and praise of Thy Son, and not under a burden of saying, I must do this, I must do that, but rather, I'm doing what God has foreordained that I should walk in them. God bless my dear friends here. Please, Lord, may we be a church, a body of believers that count for eternity. If there's somebody here this morning who is not a believer, help them to say, I want this reality, I want this
to be with this holy God and me, a sinner. I want to be on the same wavelength as Him. I want to be sure He's mine. Oh God, please speak to every one of us to the glory and praise of Thy Son. Hear us in this our prayer. And as we close off this meeting, may the Spirit of God grapple with us, work with us, to bring us to that place of saying, fill all my vision. Savior, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.